Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pool Guy Show. Today I'm going to go over some basic things that you should know about your pool if you're going to do it yourself or if you're thinking about getting into the pool service business. Today's podcast is brought to you by InyoPools.com. InyoPools has been helping pool owners find the right pool parts since 2001. With over 50,000 pool parts in stock, order online today and have the parts delivered right to your door. The podcast is also brought to you by the Riptide Pool Vacuum System. This is a powerful vacuum system that gets large leaf debris at the bottom of the pool rapidly. This is a great way to speed up your day out there for your pool service, or if you're a homeowner looking for a cleaner that's going to get the debris off the bottom, I would definitely recommend the Riptide over a robotic pool cleaner or pressure cleaner. You can learn more about the Riptide Pool Vacuum at www.riptidevac.com. Also, if you're a regular listener of the podcast, I have a dedicated website for the podcast also, and it has all the links there and also all the YouTube versions of the podcast listed there. You can find that website at www.thepoolguypodcastshow.com. So it's pretty easy to find. Again, that's thepoolguypodcastshow.com. And there you'll find some more helpful links with other podcasts all in one spot for you. So I'm going to touch on some basic things that you should know if you have a pool, if you're going to do service. And I'll start with the filtration. The filtration of the pool is key to the pool and how it looks all season long and even in the winter time. So you want to make sure that you clean the filter regularly. If you have a large DE filter, you can take that apart and clean it every 6 months. If you have a large cartridge filter, I mean there's 400 square foot cartridges inside the filter, then you want to clean that also every 4 to 6 months. And if you have a single bullet filter, you'll be cleaning that one more often as they tend to get dirty quicker. And you can backwash a D filter and a sand filter to lower the PSI, the filter pressure, and get more flow to your pool. But at one point, if you have a D filter, if you open the backwash valve and you have it running for 20 seconds and nothing but clear water comes out, which means there's no dirt or D coming out, but just clear water coming out of the backwash, then you know that the diatomaceous earth and dirt is really packed onto those grids and a backwash is not going to get it off, so you have to take it apart and clean it. Sand filters have a pretty poor track record of keeping the pool clean, especially if the pool turns. They're the lowest quality of filtration, but there are certain things you can do to enhance the sand filter, and one of them is not to backwash too often. If you're backwashing your sand filter every week, you may be overdoing it. They run better if there's some dirt in there, so keep that in mind too. You don't want to overdo the backwashing on a sand filter. So the bottom line is you got to keep the filter clean and maintained. Someone asked me about adding diatomaceous earth to a cartridge filter, and that's definitely a no-no. They have some element you can add to a cartridge filter if you wanted to do that, but in my opinion, you're just making more of a mess for yourself when you clean it off. The whole benefit of a cartridge filter is that you can clean it off on your deck or in the grass, and all you're going to hose off is dirt. So you don't want to add any kind of filter element to the cartridge filter. I think that's unnecessary. If the cartridge filter is not filtering correctly, simply replacing the cartridge is your best bet. And they're not super expensive, and you can replace them fairly easily. The only exception is the Stay-Rite System 3 filter. Those cartridges are really expensive, but they're very long-lasting. So basically, it's kind of a wash. They'll last a lot longer than the standard cartridge filter. However, the price point on those is extremely high. I think $400 to $500 to replace those cartridges compared to the other ones, which are a lot more affordable. And that goes for the grids also. If you clean your D filter, you recharge it with diatomaceous earth. If you're recharging it with the right amount and you notice that the next day or the next week the filter PSI goes back up 10 PSI on the gauge, then chances are the grids in the DE filter need to be replaced. They don't last forever. I would say you would get a good 3 to 5 years out of the DE grids in the filter. I found that the quad DE cartridge filters last a long time. They seem to last upwards of 5 years, so that's a good point about the Quad E filters. So you're basically looking at the pressure gauge and the flow. Now, if you have a cartridge filter, the pressure gauge is not going to move dramatically one way or the other. Whereas with a sand filter and a DE filter, you're going to see a big jump in the PSI when the filter is getting dirty. So keep an eye on that. The PSI is just the numbers on that gauge on top of the filter. You know, zero is when it's off. And then normally a DE filter will be at 20. And when it gets to 30, you have to clean out the filter. There are some exceptions. There's some pools with back pressure, which means the return lines aren't moving the water as fast as the suction line. So the PSI may be higher on that particular pool. So it may start at 22 and may go up to 34, 35 when it's dirty. So the filtration is key. I think one thing that's always neglected is the filtration of the pool. People will throw in chemicals like crazy, spend lots of money on chemicals, run the pool. But if you don't have a clean filter, or if the filter's not working properly, the water quality is going to suffer. And you'll notice you can throw in 2 gallons of chlorine and the next day it's going to be zeroed out because it's just not filtering the bacteria out of the pool and the algae out of the pool, and the chlorine is being destroyed pretty quickly. So if you're adding a lot of chemicals to your pool, check the filtration to see if that's the problem. And I bet when you change out the cartridge or change out the sand or change out the DE grids, you're going to see a vast improvement on the chemicals holding in the pool as well as the water quality of the pool. And I get this question often. There's green pools all season long, basically. I've done green pools in the middle of winter. I've done green pools, you know, in January, February. Of course, green pools are very common in the summertime in my area. And if you're in Australia or other parts of the world where your summer is opposite us, you're going to be starting your pool season. So green pools, basically, I get asked, how much chemical should I put in, or should I drain the pool, or what should I do with this pool that's green? And I always start with the fact that, is the equipment working? If the equipment's not working properly, the filtration's not working, or the pumps hasn't been running in 6 months, then obviously you may have to drain the pool to get it back in shape. You may not be able to get it back in shape just with chemicals because you need to run the pool for that to happen. If you have more than 3 to 4 inches of junk, gunk, silt on the bottom of the pool, you definitely probably are better off draining the pool down and starting with fresh water. But typically, most of the green pools that I deal with, they only have maybe 1/2 inch of sediment on the bottom, and it's mainly just algae in the pool. And typically, the systems are actually working fine. It's just that the pool was neglected, and the chemistry got out of balance, or the customer got busy, or what have you, and the pool turned green. So in that case, the most common answer is you can really bring the pool back with just a lot of chemicals in the pool. And I have several green pool videos. I think I have 5 of them on my channel. Different methods to get the pool back in shape. And the latest one is turning a green pool back with the PoolRx unit, which I really think is the way to go. So you can pull that video up on my channel and watch that one. So when you go to shock a pool, even if the pool is not green, let's say the pool is cloudy, it's going to take a lot more chemicals than you think to bring the pool back around. And I think that's one of the misconceptions. If you go to like the online pool calculator and it's showing 0 parts per million and you type in your pool size, 20,000 gallons, it'll tell you to add maybe 1 gallon of liquid chlorine to bring the pool back or bring the chlorine level up to 3 parts per million. However, there's other factors that will cause you to add much more chemicals. One of them is the organics in the water. If the pool has a lot of algae in the water, it's not going to be 1 gallon of liquid chlorine is not going to do much. So the rule of thumb and the default is you're always going to use more chemicals than you would ever imagine using to turn your pool back, whether it's green or just cloudy. So keep that in mind when you're adding to the pool the shock level of chemicals. Let's say you just put 4 gallons of liquid chlorine into a green pool. You get back to the next day, the pool is just as green as it was before. You obviously didn't add enough chemicals to the pool, and you just wasted those 4 gallons of chlorine. So in that case, in your mind, always double, triple, quadruple the amount of chlorine that you think you're going to need to get the pool back. Having too much chlorine in the pool is not a problem. Just don't add any more for the next week or two after that. But you definitely want to add enough chlorine so that you win the battle against the algae and organics in the water. And these same rules apply for a cloudy pool. you know, there's a lot of organic in the water. You can't see the bottom. You're going to need a lot more than 1 or 2 gallons of liquid chlorine if you have a 20,000 gallon pool to bring it back. And runtime is important. I'll touch on this too. A lot of people don't like running their pools in the season or even out of season. And I think this is one of the big mistakes, is that they think that by not running the pool, they're saving electricity and saving money, which is true in one way. And on the other respect, you're going to spend a lot more money on chemicals. The filter is going to be a lot dirtier because the debris is going to be falling to the bottom more often, and the automatic cleaner is going to be picking it up a lot more often. So not running your pool is not going to really save you much. And I'm a big proponent of running your pool as little as possible to get one cycle of water through, which will save you a lot of money just in that respect. And people overrun their pools. I'm positive that you're probably running your pool too long in the summertime in most respects. And in the wintertime, you can bring that down to 2 to 4 hours a week. I mean, a day, not a week. And run your pool a lot less in the winter because the water is much colder. We don't close our pools here in California, so we run our pools all winter long. And just not running your pool long enough is a big factor in the water quality. So keep that in mind. That's a pretty basic thing. The filtration, the green pool and shocking it, and the cloudy pool, and the runtime of your pool. Now, a lot of people have variable speed pumps, and they love running it on low speed pretty much the whole day, which is fine in a lot of respects, but you'll notice that the quality of the water suffers on low speed. A lot of times, someone will sell you a variable speed pump and not tell you that for the salt water generator to work, you need to run it at a higher speed. And if you have a suction side, a pressure cleaner, you have to run your pool at a higher speed for sure to get those moving. So don't be sold on the variable speed pump, running it at low speed all the time and not using any electricity in the summer. Basically, you're going to run it on low speed, yes, and that saves you a lot of money. But you have to run it on higher speeds also to get the water circulating, to get the cleaner moving. So it's still going to save you a lot of money over a single speed pump for sure. It's just that I think a lot of people that get the variable speed pumps are afraid to run them at a higher speed because they feel like they invested so much money in the variable speed pump that to run it at a high speed is kind of counterproductive to why they got it. But believe me, if you're running it at 2600 RPMs, you're going to be saving a lot of money over running it at 3450 RPMs, which is what the standard single speed pump runs at. So you're going to save a lot of money in the long run. Don't worry too much about running it on a high speed when you need to, and just worry about running your pool so that the water quality looks good during the season. This is about the time of year, or next month, is when I get a lot of people emailing me or asking about their pump, their variable speed pump coming on in the middle of the night. If you have an automated system, Pentair, Jandy, or Hayward, there's something called Freeze Protect, and in California, it's not really critical. Our water doesn't really freeze here. Maybe in certain areas of the state, you're going to get water temperature down to the freezing level. But the majority of the state and other parts of the country where they don't close their pools, you're not going to get water cold enough to freeze in the pipes and cause... basically, the main damage that will happen is that the O-rings in the heater will expand and contract and cause a leak. But... And once in a while, in a long while, maybe a pipe will burst from being frozen, but not common. So the variable speed pumps and the automated systems have something called freeze mode or freeze protect. And when the water temperature gets, I believe, 37, 38 degrees, the temp sensor will let the pump know it has to come on so that the water doesn't freeze. And then the pump will come on generally 1 in the morning and run till like 5 or 6 in the morning. And if that's not your normal run time, it freaks a lot of people out. Why is my pump coming on in the middle of the night all week? And that's because of the freeze mode or freeze protect mode. And I believe the only one you can disable it on is the Hayward Aqualogic system. Pentair, you can lower it down, and same with the Aqualink, but you can't disable the freeze protect mode in an automated system. On the pump itself, if it's a standalone variable speed pump, I believe you can disable it on most of the variable speed pumps, so that won't happen. But generally, if the pump comes on in the middle of the night, it's because of the freeze mode activating. And don't call your pool service provider panicking at 2 in the morning that your pump's running. Just wait till the next day, and they're going to tell you that, yeah, it's probably the freeze protect mode. So one way around this is to simply change your runtime of your pool to run from midnight till 8 in the morning in the wintertime. And that way the pump will be running anyway during that those times of night where it would come on, and you're not wasting electricity. You can also lower the RPMs of the freeze mode. So I have one customer with an easy touch automation, and the pump is right by her window. So in the wintertime, it would come on and wake her up at night. So I actually lowered the freeze mode down to, I think, 1400 RPMs. And so when the Freeze Protect comes on at night, you can't even hear it. So that's one way around the freeze mode, is to lower down the RPMs. If you have a variable speed pump, of course, connected to your automated system. If not, you're pretty much out of luck. But if you have a variable speed pump connected to your automated system, you can lower down the RPMs in freeze mode. And that way, when it does come on in the middle of the night, it's not going to wake anyone up. So this is something that you should be aware of in the wintertime. If you have a variable speed pump or an automated system with a variable speed pump, or an automated system with a standard speed pump, it's going to have that come on. And this is the time of year where people stop filling their pool up with water. And for some reason they think, well, it's not summertime, the water's not going to evaporate as much, I'm not going to keep an eye on my pool. And that's a big mistake. The water level is critical all year long, and it does evaporate even in the wintertime. I add water to my pool probably every 2 weeks now in the wintertime, but I still add water, because that is one key to the pool looking good every week, is having the right water levels so that the pool can actually filter and run. If you have an older pool, there may not even be any safety device that will prevent the pump from running dry when the water gets low. So the water level is critical in season and out of season, unless you close your pool, of course, then if you wouldn't have to worry about it. But again, I'm speaking of areas where we don't close our pools. And if you need to, there's a device called the Pool Sentry. Connects to a garden hose, and you can actually regulate the fill water of the pool. It attaches to the side of your deck, and it hangs over like a toilet bowl plunger. This will regulate the water level in your pool. They're fairly reliable. They do crack after about 2 years, and they may leak a little bit of water when you first put the garden hose on there if it's not a new hose, but usually putting Teflon tape around the hose will prevent the Pool Sentry from leaking. They're like $90, and they're a great way to keep the water filled in your pool all season long and all year long. If you don't have any kind of autofill index system at your pool, definitely look into getting the Pool Sentry to keep the water level up all season long. And I'll touch on one more basic thing before I close here, is that a lot of people don't check their water chemistry often enough. If you're a homeowner, you may check it every 2 or 3 weeks. And I understand that it takes time to go out there and check your chemistry. If you need to, you can use test strips. They're a quick and easy way to get a quick reading of the pool. But I really recommend testing your pool once a week in the summertime with a solid test kit, either a Taylor 2005, Taylor K2006, or the ColorQ Pro 7 would be the great reagent kits that I would recommend to get a good reading on your water chemistry. You don't have to check it as often in the wintertime or when the water is cold, but you still need to check it. You'll notice that in cold water that the pH and alkalinity don't move that much. The pH is pretty stable in cold water. And same with the calcium scaling. This is a good time of year to actually treat the calcium scale in the pool, because it doesn't really expand or grow or get more scale in cold water. So definitely think about treating the scale in the pool when the water is cold. And you don't need that much chlorine in cold water. If the water is 60 degrees or lower, you could put 1 gallon of liquid chlorine probably every 3 or 4 weeks, and that will hold the chlorine level in most pools. I would stay away from using tablets in the wintertime. You're just going to be adding cyanuric acid to the pool all year round, and this is a great time to take a break from the cyanuric acid with the tablets and just switch over to a liquid chlorine. And you'll notice that there's no algae usually in the wintertime either, unless you really neglect your pool. So even if the pool zeroes out in December or January, chances are there's not going to be any algae in there, because it doesn't really grow in really cold water. So those are some things to note as the season changes. And of course, those of you who are starting summer, you definitely are going to have to look at the opposite end of that and make sure that you have plenty of chlorine in your pool with the hot weather. Make sure that your pool is running, you're testing your water weekly. If you're a homeowner, you may want to check it more than once a week if you can, and this will prevent any kind of water quality issues. So testing your water in and out of season is really critical, and it shouldn't be neglected just because the water temperature drops, or you get busy during the summer, you don't think you need to check because you have a salt water generator or you have a UV or ozone. You still need to check your chemistry level in the pool. Otherwise, the water could become corrosive or it can also scale the pool surface. So keep that in mind, that chemistry is important in and out of season. So I'll probably do a few more of these, just the basics podcasts. I really enjoy doing that. And I just gave, I think, five basic points that you should know about if you're a pool owner or a pool service professional. And I'm going to keep it pretty basic for you. I think you can overdo it with getting too much in depth, and there's no need to do that. You can, if you want to get more in depth, you can definitely look up stuff online and watch my videos. But this is pretty much the basic stuff that will keep your pool looking good all season long and out of season. And if you need more resources, you can go to my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. And I have an ebook and a print book there. I also have a lot of different web pages with other resources. You can check that out. It'll give you some good resources for your pool. And if you do service for a living, you can, if you want more one-on-one help, you can join my coaching site. I created a website for my coaching site too. Let me get the URL here for you. And the website is www.poolguycoaching.com. Pretty simple. Again, that's www.poolguycoaching.com. And I have all the benefits listed there on my coaching site. Easy to follow, and you can also join the coaching site really easily from the website. And it starts out as low as $10 a month, and you get lots of great benefits. So if you're in the industry and you're looking for more one-on-one help, or to expand your business, or just to join and get to know other pool guys in your area or around the nation, definitely check out the Pool Guy Coaching website that I mentioned there. So I hope you found this podcast helpful. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Yeah! Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.